Unleavened Bread Ministries presents Hidden Manna for the End Time with your host, David Eales.
Hello, friends. This is David Eales. God bless you and thank you for joining us. We have some very important revelations to share with you that were shared with me over the last 30-something years, sometimes in word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They are very, I'll say, untraditional, but you should expect that in these days. The traditions of men have been making of no effect the Word of God. And these revelations will help you to cooperate with God in the time to come in manifesting His Son in you and in understanding the things that are going on around you and the great purpose that God has for these end times. May God give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that these will be a great blessing unto you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You may hear some things here that are not fitting with your traditions. God bless you.
Part 36, Fall of America, Rise of the Saints.
After conquering God's people and crucifying their flesh in tribulation, Nineveh, as a type of the United States, did fall, just as the prophet Nahum later prophesied. The invasion and destruction of Nineveh as a type of the United States was delayed from before the tribulation of the saints to after the tribulation of the saints. You hear what I'm saying now? I'm going to give you a lot of proof of this, a lot of proof straight out of the Bible. A delay isn't a delete. It will come to pass. We cannot stop it. It will come to pass. Many of the pre-tribulation warnings that we receive through men like Dimitri and many others will still come to pass, but they won't come to pass in their original timing. Just as with Jonah's prophecy, Jonah prophesied in 40 days. Well, it didn't come to pass in 40 days, but it did come to pass. And it came to pass after they conquered the people of God. We need someone to bring us to our cross. Let's face it. It's never happened before in history that God's people just humbly submitted without tribulation, without being brought to their cross by a world-ruling beast, basically. History repeats itself. What the things that have been are the things that shall be. Here's another clue. In 2000 and 2006, these two dates are encoded with Armageddon. Now, that's interesting because the Armageddon War doesn't happen before the tribulation. It happens after the tribulation. These two warnings of the destruction of America are both encoded with Armageddon. And I'm going to prove to you that that's where America falls. It starts at the end of the seven-year tribulation. That's where Armageddon starts. And it lasts for a year. Since the tribulation hadn't yet started, and Armageddon does start at the end of the tribulation, we know that this fall of America has been put off till at least 2012 to 2014. Again, that's not giving you a date for when America falls. I'm just saying, we know what happens at the end of the tribulation period. It's very clear in the Bible. And if that's when America falls, it won't be for some years yet before she falls. But we're not getting out of anything because God, way back when I started hearing this about America, the judgment of America, I started praying, Lord, be merciful. Please ratchet up this judgment in order to get as many people to repent as possible. And that's exactly what God's going to do. I didn't know it at the time that He'd already planned to do that. So when I found that out, I thought, praise be to God, because He is going to bring as many people into the kingdom as possible. The Nineveh U.S. connection was made plain to me in September of 1998. I got the vision, as I told you, in 96. But in 98 is when I actually got the revelation that that United States was Nineveh and that there was a delay. At that time, I shared it with our assembly, and we got three dream confirmations. The two shortest ones are these. Pauline was by the seawall at the Navy base in Pensacola, Florida, in her dream, and she saw a huge bomb falling over the water. And everyone was just terrified, but the bomb just stopped a few feet above the water and stayed there. And then Debbie had a dream at the exact same time. A red car, we thought representing sin, started running down a hill, and someone whom we thought was Jesus, probably, got in and turned the key off and stopped the car before it crashed at the bottom. Another delay, okay? Delay. Later, the car started by itself without the key and continued on down the hill and crashed. In other words, in rebellion to its owner, right? And we know who owns the United States, right? Well, the Lord told me to be quiet about this. He told me, share it with our local assemblies there, which I did, and He told me to be quiet about it until September of 99. And then He told me to share it with the prophets, which I did. I wrote an article called Judgment Delayed, and I sent it out to many, many prophets. Got quite a few letters back or emails back, and many of them told me that they saw it. I'd given just many more examples than I'm going to give here about this delay that the Lord had shown me. And they saw it, and they weren't going to preach it anymore. How many of you know it's a good thing to know before the prophesied event that it's not going to happen, because then people can't call you a false prophet, right? That's why God did this. And also, He delayed it because He delayed the revelation of this delay for the purpose that He wanted a lot of people to repent when they heard that word. You know, God sees the end from the beginning. He sees all the delays. He sees everything. But He uses the preaching of the gospel to bring people to repentance. Before Jonah went to Nineveh, God knew there was going to be a delay. But He had to go to bring the people to repentance. And the warning was true. The warning was true. At the same time, by the way, in September of 99, the Lord told me that Y2K will be nothing. And I shared it with a few people too. I think it was to help confirm that this really was a revelation from God. And truly it was nothing. Babylonian Empire. Let's look at this. This is kind of interesting. And we look at the Assyrian Empire, how it can point to the United States world ruling empire. The United States over the UN being a world ruling empire. Now the Babylonian Empire is a type of the U.S. ruling the UN beast. Let me give you a few examples. I know most of you probably already understand that America is Babylon. So I'm just going to share just a few of these. Like Babylon, the United States has the symbol of the great eagle. In Ezekiel 17, Babylon is called the great eagle. And nobody in the world is the great eagle but the United States, right? And Babylon had a mother whose symbol was the lion, right? The symbol of the lion for the United States is, of course, Britain. It's on all their coat of arms and so all over Britain. That's their symbol, the lion. And their cubs, too. Many of their cubs have this symbol. And Babylon, like the United States, is the richest nation in the world. It's a melting pot of mingled people. Now, there's a reason for this, and that is that if you look a little further down here, it trades with all who have ships in the sea. It's trade with all nations, brings it into contact with a lot of peoples, draws a lot of people in. In the United States, we've been called the melting pot because all the people of the nations of the world have come into the United States. And sad to say, too, all of their religions have come into the United States. So we're very much like Babylon. And America fits the prophecies about Babylon totally and completely. Because those prophecies, you know, every prophecy has more than one fulfillment to it in history. The preterists say there's only one fulfillment of prophecy. Like in 70 AD, that was the fulfillment of the Antichrist, and nothing beyond that can be true. But the truth is, it did happen in 70 AD. They have that part right. But they don't have it right in that history repeats itself, and the things that have been are the things that shall be. So they're totally wrong on that. And they won't know what's going to happen in these days. It's all going to be a new revelation to them. But America is a melting pot like Babylon was. And it's a coastal nation that sits upon many waters. We fulfill that better than Babylon does. Even though they straddled the Euphrates and were on the Gulf, they were on many waters, but America sits on many, many more waters. Like Babylon, the United States has an unmatched military machine, is the head of the nations in the latter days. You know there's more than one latter days in the Bible? Peter talked about the latter days being back there at Pentecost. You know, and it was truly the latter days of the Jews' covenant. And now we've come to the latter days of the Gentiles' covenant, right? So there are more than one latter days in the Bible. Remember that. People say Paul made a mistake when he talked about that being the latter days. No, he didn't. He knew exactly what he was doing. Like Babylon, the United States gathers all nations into a one world order. Babylon did this. Is the queen of the nations. Brings God's people into great tribulation. This is something we're going to look at. Babylon brought the people of God into tribulation and bondage, and America will do the same thing. Creates the image of the UN beast. Babylon created the image of the UN beast. We'll look at that too in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 1. All nations in one image of the beast. Okay, is attacked by a federation of nations and is conquered by a bear. You know, Babylon, as the great eagle, was conquered by the great bear of Medo-Persia. And America, as the great eagle, will be conquered by a great bear of Russia. The U.S. is now spiritual and physical Babylon since conquering Iraq. In Daniel 2 and 28, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and he hath made known what shall be in the latter days. Now, this following revelation that we're looking at in Daniel, most people see it as in a historic view. In other words, lasting throughout history. And that's definitely true. But there also is an end time view of this. The historic view, let's look at that first. It says, behold, a great image. This is the image of the beast. Its head was of fine gold, and that was Babylon. Its breast and its arms of silver, and that was Medo-Persia. Its belly and thighs of brass, and that was the Grecian Empire. And its legs of iron, and that's Rome. And its feet part of iron and part of clay, and that is a revived Rome coming to pass in our days. That's the historic view. Each one of these kingdoms conquered the previous kingdom in history and ruled. But what I want to tell you is it's also an end time view, because there is the great day of the war of God, the Bible calls it, in which these same battles will happen. And the same eagle of Babylon will be conquered at that time by the bear of Russia. The eagle of the United States will be conquered by the bear of Russia. And if you look up there again, you see that Greece comes into play there. And Greece, he's not talking about Greece during the Alexander's Empire. He's talking about Greece after the Alexander's Empire, because in Daniel 7, there's a parallel revelation to Daniel 2, in which he describes these exact same kingdoms. And there he described Greece as a leopard with four wings and four heads. So he's describing the Grecian Empire post-Alexander the Great. And what happened there was Alexander's four generals divvied up the kingdom into four kingdoms. And what we're going to see is that that is what is going to conquer the bear in our day, which is Russia. Four kingdoms. And the Lord has shown me two of these kingdoms, and I think he showed Dimitri Dudeman that Japan and China would conquer the Russian bear. And I believe that exactly. The main kingdom there is China. But I believe also that Germany has a lot to do with the leopard, even in our day, the leopard of Germany. And the leopard of China and leopard in Japan is going to join in. Several nations are going to join in to conquer Russia during that end time war. And of course, the last war will be when they all join back together as the revived Roman Empire to come against Israel one more time. We'll look at that. Now here's the neat thing, is that a stone was cut out without hands. Speaking about the mountain of the kingdom of God, a stone was cut out of that mountain without hands, which smote the image in its feet. The feet, of course, in the historic view, the feet is the end time kingdom, the kingdom of the ten kings that's going to rule during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And it smote the kingdom upon its feet. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken in pieces together. Notice that in the end time, the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and gold will be broken in pieces together. Now that's not an end time view. That's not a historic view. That's an end time view. And what he's saying is all these kingdoms are going to be destroyed by the saints, the kingdom of God, in the end time. They're going to break it in pieces. We'll look at that too. Well, you know, these kingdoms are still with us. Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and Rome. No kingdom ever really passes away. Their seed just multiplies after that and keeps on multiplying and covering the earth. So actually, we have all these kingdoms in the last days kingdom. And we'll look at that too. Verse 44. And in the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. That definitely shows an end time view. Because all these kingdoms are now gathered together in one kingdom. All seven heads and all ten horns is just in one kingdom, and that kingdom is the UN. And God's saints are going to tear that apart piece by piece. Babylon, as a type of the United States, leads the UN as the head of the image of the beast. Now watch, in verse 37, Thou, O King, art King of kings, unto whom the God of heaven hath given the kingdom. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, that covers a long ways, right? All over the earth, right? Hath he made thee to rule over them all. Thou art the head of gold. America right now is at its peak influence the world over, over the UN, over the world. And it's looked at as the lead nation. And we haven't seen anything yet because it will continue to be this way and even more so in the future. In chapter 3 and verse 1, the king of Babylon, by the way, representing the United States, made an image of gold. Now, a lot of people aren't thinking about the United States being the one building this one world image. Actually, we are a one world image, aren't we? We're the saints of God. We're made as the body of Christ in the image of Jesus Christ, in the image of God. Well, Antichrist is also in a one world image. And just as there are only two men in the earth, by the way, two corporate men in the earth, Christ and Antichrist. Antichrist is a one world image. And the people who make up the body of Antichrist are that image. And guess who's at the top? America. The king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof was 6 cubits, and he set it up in the plain of Dura. And Dura is a Hebrew word that means the circle. You know what the Bible calls the earth? The circle of the earth. Look it up. It calls in the Bible that. Well, the gematria for world, if you add up the letters in the word world, it comes up to 600. So what you have is 666, and this image that he set up was an image with Babylon at the top and all world-ruling kingdoms beneath it, all world-ruling kingdoms beneath it, in one image, representing all the peoples of the world. That's what this image represented. The scope of this image is 666. It's the number of man, okay? And he set this up in Babylon. You know where the capital of the UN is? It's in, you know, Babylon was both the name of a city and it was the name of a nation, wasn't it? Well, we have a Babylon that's a city and we have a Babylon that's a nation, don't we? Yeah. And the capital city for our Babylonian empire is New York City. And that's where the capital for the UN is. Let me point something out to you. In 1 John 4, 2 through 4, first, I'm going to read a verse to you to give you the background here in 1 John 3 and 24, and it says, And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he gave us. The text is speaking about spirits in people, not talking about demons, but the spirit that's formed in people. In 1 John 4, it says, Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Is, not has. There's no numeric pattern in the word has there. The numeric pattern is in the word is. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now we know Jesus has come in the flesh, but the only flesh that he is coming in is our flesh. And the Bible tells us that also in 2 John, that they went out from among us. Many antichrists went out from the body and they would not profess that Jesus Christ is coming in flesh. You know, even today, the false prophets in the pulpits do not confess that Jesus Christ is coming in this flesh. They say that we're always going to be just sinners saved by grace, right? My first experience with a man who was having demons cast out of him was in a Pentecostal church. I was there, and this man, I mean, even I recognized in that early time in my life that this man was demon-possessed. First of all, he thought he was a woman. And second of all, he was reading everybody's mind. And if you think the devil can't read your mind, you should have listened to this guy because he could do it. And the devil can read minds. That's a false doctrine, by the way. I knew that very early. But anyway, you know what these Pentecostals said to this man to test him? I don't know why they had to test him. Anybody like that, you ought to know they're demon-possessed. You don't have to test them, right? But they thought they'd test this guy. They said, say Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. You know what those demons said? Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. They don't have any problem with that. But the truth is, when you talk to people in the world, their spirit confesses something to you. It bears witness with your spirit. Their spirit either confesses that Jesus Christ lives in them or he doesn't live in them. And that's what this is talking about. Every spirit that confesseth not Jesus is not of God. When you talk to someone whose spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in their flesh, that spirit is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Notice, every spirit, notice very carefully, every spirit is the spirit of the Antichrist. That's what the Bible says. Now, we shouldn't add to or take away from the Word, but tradition holds us in bondage many times. Things that we've heard, revelations that people have had. Many revelations, by the way, are dreams. I had a man arguing with me in the last meeting. He said, Gene Dixon saw this man called the Antichrist. I said, are you going to let the Antichrist describe for you the Antichrist? Doesn't make a lot of sense. So, but I know that well-meaning Christians have had dreams and visions of the Antichrist. But do you know how many dreams have you had that had a spiritual interpretation? So what we have is a word of prophecy made more sure. We have to let the Bible tell us who the Antichrist is. And it does, very plainly. It tells us who the beast is. Most of you are probably convinced that the beast and the Antichrist are the same. We just discovered that the beast is a seven-head, ten-horned image of all nations in one man. All nations in one man. You say, well, David, in the Old Testament, the Antichrist, Antiochus Epiphanes, back over in Daniel. By the way, Daniel, everything that Daniel said about the Antichrist was fulfilled in Antiochus Epiphanes. He did all those things. The point is, in the Old Testament, when you take an individual body like Israel and you come into the New Testament, it's no longer an individual body. Now it's a corporate body. Israel now is worldwide. And it's us. And it's spiritual and not physical. Did you notice? Every other entity, when you take them from the Old Testament into the New Testament, you have to translate them the same way. We saw, for instance, that Jacob is small. How shall he stand? Who was he talking to there? Jacob? No, he was talking to Israel. Israel was a corporate worldwide body, a corporate body at that time. And he still called him Jacob. And he still called Israel, Israel, but actually, at that time, we weren't talking about original man called Israel, but a corporate body of people. And all through the Bible, he talks about corporate bodies. He's doing the same thing in the book of Revelation. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, that is the spirit of the Antichrist. And it is the seven-head, ten-horned beast of all nations and all peoples outside of Jesus Christ in the end time. Go back and listen to the previous teaching that I gave on the beast, the covenant, the image, and so on and so forth. I laid this foundation because what I'm going to share here, I needed to lay a little bit of foundation for it. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Notice, there's only two. There's a spirit that is from heaven that inhabits all of God's people, and there's a spirit from the pit that inhabits all of Antichrist's people. There's only he that's in you and he that's in the world. And Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Meaning, When we listen to His words, when we humbly submit to those words go into us and recreate His Spirit in us. We're not talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about a born-again Spirit. That's a recreated Spirit of Jesus Christ in you. Jesus Christ had His own Spirit and the Holy Spirit, right? And we were created in His image. We have our own born-again Spirit in His image, and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in that. And Jesus told us that there are two men in the earth. And that is, of course, one shall be taken and one shall be left. That is Christ and Antichrist. So, we're looking at a world-ruling kingdom that most of the people of God are not going to recognize. They're going to wait for this man to show up. Watch. As head, the corporate harlot of the United States rides the corporate UN seven-head, ten-horned beast through the tribulation period. Did you ever notice that? The harlot rides her all the way through. The harlot is not destroyed at the beginning of the tribulation period. He rides her all the way through the tribulation period. But it's a corporate harlot. Everybody realizes that the harlot is a corporate body of people. Some people say it's this, some people say it's that. It's the Catholic Church. Some people say it's America. And I believe it's, frankly, a world body of false religion and America. I believe because God is so big, from the same prophecies, He can show us more than one thing. He is so big. And He's shown me plainly that there is a secular Babylon, a secular harlot, and also a religious harlot. Okay? Well, either way, this corporate harlot is riding on the back of what the Bible calls the beast in the book of Revelation. Now, if that beast is an individual, that's a real heavy woman. You got an individual holding up a corporate body? Nah. This is the beast that we're talking about there is all seven heads and all ten horns. That's the seed of all previous empires together in this last empire, because they are now in the UN. All previous empires are in the UN. Okay, Revelation 17 and 1. The great harlot that sitteth upon many waters. And what are the waters? Look further down in verse 15 there. It says the waters are the peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So she's sitting on peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And then in verse 3, he tells you that I saw the woman sitting upon the scarlet colored beast. What is the scarlet colored beast? Peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. We have a parallel revelation here. He wants you to see that. The waters are this beast. They are the peoples of the world, right? Watch this now. An angel told Dimitri that this harlot is the United States. I believe that. I believe she also represents a religious body of people, okay? And yet, she's still riding the beast of the second 3.5 years. This is not the dragon that she's riding on here. The dragon lasts, in according to Revelation chapter 12, the dragon lasts for 3.5 years. Then the beast of the second 3.5 starts in Revelation 13.
This series by David Eales will be continued on our next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. For more information and materials, go to www.americaslastdays.com.